Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Long Shots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Long Shots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Becky Buehler told me that it wasn't supposed to take 4 years to release her latest CD, Crate Paper Heart. The problem was so many other good things were going on in her life. Good things like being the first person ever to win the IBMA Instrumental and Vocalist categories in the same year, in 2016. That coming off of a 2015 IBMA Songwriter, Emerging Artist, and Recorded Event of the Year Awards. Becky is my guest on this next edition of Americana Music Profiles.
Hi, Becky. Welcome to the podcast this afternoon.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. Glad you could join us. You are, and I didn't write it down, but tell me where you are outside of Nashville. I remember we were talking about Bonnaroo.
Yes, I'm in the home of Bonnaroo, Manchester, Tennessee. It's my husband's hometown. His family's been here since before Coffee was a county, which is like back in the early 1800s.
Wow,
okay. And I love my adopted hometown. I'm originally from St. James, Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
But I've been here in Manchester since we got married, so for the last 9 years.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to be.
Yeah, that's cool. So tell me about Becky a little bit. How did you get on this career of bluegrass music and music in general?
Well, my parents met when my mom walked up to my dad sometime during college and told him he was playing cheater chords on the guitar. So music has been a part of my life since the very beginning. When I was about 5 years old, I got interested in bluegrass music. My dad started taking mandolin lessons from a fellow named Vic Kimmel, who was up there. A transplant from Pennsylvania and West Virginia came to Minnesota to work for the Minnesota DNR. And brought his music with him. But even at that point, Minnesota already had a thriving bluegrass and old time music community.
Hmm.
And so I grew up playing it, went to bluegrass school at East Tennessee State University.
Yep. That's cool.
I picked up fiddle so I could play in my parents' band. Let me rephrase that. I picked up fiddle so I could sing in my parents' band because they said, you have to play something. You can't just sing. Normally, bluegrass music, we don't see. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule, but normally you don't see somebody just singing. Usually, everybody does everything, a little bit of everything.
Sure.
Plays everything, sings everything.
Yeah.
Drives the bus, can record the record and do the graphic design. All of that. That's the economics of bluegrass music.
Yeah.
That's how the only instrument they didn't have in the band was a fiddle. I wasn't aware of dobro at that point.
Okay.
Might have changed changed my path if I was. But yeah, so I picked up fiddle and then went to bluegrass school, took a job with Valerie Smith and Liberty Pike immediately out of school.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And then traveled all over the world for 10 years with her, and then traveled with Darren and Brooke Aldridge for a couple seasons, and since 2015, I've had my own outfit.
So
the Becky Buehler Band.
Yeah, so music has kind of been your thing that you've done professionally, right, for most of your life since school?
It is, yeah. And I've, worked odd jobs, within the industry to keep doing this. mostly teaching. I do a lot of teaching and have since college. I teach private instrumental music, mostly fiddle and violin, some songwriting and some singing and clawhammer banjo, and worked for Valerie Smith's label, Bell Buckle Records, in their right. office doing various things for a while. My degree is actually in public relations.
Oh, cool.
So
okay.
I figured that was something that would help me within the music industry.
Sure, yeah. So in and around the music for sure. And you mentioned teaching. Oh, yeah. So I'm presuming that you have a set of students that you work with on a regular basis?
I do. I need to count up how many. I think I have about 25 to 30
oh, wow.
students that are active that either, you know, some come once a week, some come every couple weeks or once a month, some every so often, but they're still consistent with me. And I have a lot of local students here in Manchester, Tennessee and Middle Tennessee, but then I have folks that study with me online from, let's say I had one in the UK here recently.
Oh, nice.
That's my farthest flung.
Yeah.
And then, just this week I had someone sign on from Durango, Colorado, and I had a Pennsylvania student right after her. I've got a fellow up in Boston that's studying with me and, so it's really fun, and I really do enjoy it, and especially when it really clicks with a student, they just fall in love with it.
So you do this via Facebook or some sort of live one-on-one FaceTime or something like that?
I do, yeah. FaceTime, but mostly Skype.
Okay.
Is how I've been doing that, and that's all on my website at beckybowler.com.
Neat, okay.
All my lesson policies and whatnot. I teach a couple days a week because that seems to make the most sense with touring and then also being a mom. We have a 5-year-old daughter named Romy, and she's a whole lot of fun. And
yeah.
We're exhausted.
Yeah. and you're also a songwriter too, right? That's like a big thing for you, right?
Yeah.
And not just for yourself, but for other folks too, correct?
Yeah, well, for a long time I was just, you know, performing as a side person working for Valerie mostly and didn't have my own band, didn't record too many records. I had a couple records, one that came out while I was in college called Rest My Weary Feet and then one that came out on Valerie's label in 2004 called Little Bird. But then I had about a 10-year gap because it just wasn't easy for me to get in the studio or fund a project. And, it just, the timing wasn't right. And so, you know, I was writing lots of songs and I always have squirreled away songs that I particularly liked thinking, well, maybe someday I'll get to do another record.
Yeah.
But then other songs, I'm like, you know, that would fit a certain artist or I'll write with a certain artist in mind.
Okay.
Or go write with them. Yeah, so I'm all the time pitching things around, and Bluegrass has been very kind to me. So I'm amazed. I'm continually amazed that I get to do this and at the folks that have recorded my songs.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no greater honor than when an artist likes what you do so well that they make it part of their art.
Sure, yeah. I'm always intrigued when I talk to people who are also intentionally songwriters and the question of writing for your band, your music versus, another artist out there that you write for them in mind when you write. Tell me if you can explain it, what the difference is, what kind of mindset did you have to get in order to write for, you know, an artist that maybe asked you to write for them, or you decide that you think you have a song that would fit that person versus a song that you may write for yourself that you know that you want to perform with your band.
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily set out saying I'm going to write for myself today. I'm very much an inspiration writer. It's a phrase that catches my ear, and then I'll just start kind of speaking that, and that'll kind of lead itself to a rhythm, and that rhythm will kind of lead itself to a melody, and then that melody will kind of lead itself to a form, and the song just kind of grows from that. And sometimes it'll be from a gal's perspective, sometimes it'll be from a guy's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just try to follow the idea wherever it goes, and you know, sometimes it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
And but I love I love listening, and there are artists that I've just, you know, grown up listening to and immersed myself in their music. And so, you know, naturally some things will come out of my music that reflects what they do. And for instance, like Kenny and Amanda Smith, I just love their music.
Yeah.
And I've written, they've recorded a few songs of mine, which is just, I mean, just tickles me to death.
Yeah,
that they would do that. And I've written some other ones that I've pitched their way, thinking, you know, I can just hear them singing this. And,
okay.
You know, it just depends on where an artist is at, of course. And some things I've pitched two or three times and they've gotten picked up by that artist. And sometimes they keep saying no, or I don't hear anything. There's a lot of not hearing anything.
Okay.
And then, oh, this was great. In the early 2000s, I wrote a song with Mark Simons and Lisa Ashman called Music to My Ears. And Valerie Smith ended up recording it, but I didn't realize that Mark had also pitched it to Ricky Skaggs. And maybe he had told me, I don't know. But in 2012, I got a text from my friend and co-writer John Weisberger, and he said, congratulations on your Ricky Skaggs cut. I was like, what? And he said, yeah, didn't you know you got the title cut of Ricky's latest album?
Oh, wow, that's cool.
I was just like taken aback, you know.
Yeah.
I still get goosebumps thinking about it because I'm just such a fan of Ricky Skaggs.
Yeah.
So honored that he would have chosen that song, but sure. He had had it for 10 years, and he kept trying to, you know, fit it onto one of his records, and you know, it finally fit that collection that year. It was just pretty awesome. I hope I answered your question. Talked all around it.
No, that's neat because I've learned over the years that everybody's songwriting process is different. There's some core things that run through all of them, but it's always interesting because I hear from folks sometimes that, you know, well, I'm not really that much of a songwriter. We rely on other folks writing songs for us. And then somebody like yourself, who's writing songs for a lot of people, whether they, you know, intentionally or they get picked up. And it's always interesting to hear the difference and the different nuances that lead you to be able to do that or allow you to find yourself in a place where other artists are singing your songs to the point that you also won an award for that, right? An IBM award?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, in 2015.
Yeah.
From the International Bluegrass Music Association.
Yeah.
Wow. It just blows my mind. I still can't get my head wrapped around all that.
Well, not only did you,
that might not be a bad thing.
Yeah, no, that's no. Anytime an industry that you respect acknowledges your contribution, it's cool. And you were also, I think, nominated as or maybe won the award for Emerging Artist that year too, right?
We did that year, yes.
Yeah. And then of course the next year was the big year where you kind of made history with the IBMA.
The 2016. Seven Player of the Year, first female to ever win that award, and then also the one female vocalist that year, and the first person to ever win in both vocal and instrumental categories ever.
Yeah, that's
in the
awesome.
History of the awards.
Yeah,
and again, I keep thinking about that, going, what? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, that's awesome when that can happen. And then, you know, I'm sure it has to give you a boost of confidence and being able to go forth and continue to do what you love to do, obviously. Do you find the attention level of, you know, hey, we want you to write a song for us, kind of stemming from that acknowledgement?
Maybe a little bit. It's kind of carried on, like with pitching songs and stuff. That's kind of carried on pretty steady, about the same pace, I think. And I'm so slow at getting back. I've got so many things on my plate.
Yeah.
And, it's hard to keep track of everything. But yes, definitely the stakes are higher, and I think more so than the boost of confidence, it's kind of, I mean, to be gut level honest and completely transparent, it's freaked me out. I'm used to being a support person, and I drug my feet on having my own band for a very long time.
Ah, okay.
Just because I knew it was going to be stressful, and I didn't know that I had what it took to make it happen. And luckily, I have a wonderful team around me with the musicians that I get to perform with, and hopefully we'll talk about them in a little bit.
For sure.
But
yeah.
But also just with our booking agent and my record producer. It's just a great group of folks that make it not too stressful on me, you know, make it easy on me. But yeah, I find myself now trying to live up to those awards and play up to those awards. And I feel, which is totally backwards and ridiculous. You never know how you're going to react to something until
right.
it happens.
Right.
And it was something that I hadn't really thought about other than, oh, that would be cool. But yeah, like that's going to happen. That was about how much I thought about it. And when it did, it really kind of threw me for a loop. And I'm honored though. I am so honored and I guess maybe this is the humbled side of it. I don't know. I'm still coming to terms with it. But I'm grateful. I'm so grateful and excited, and it's made me set even bigger goals for myself.
Yeah, that's neat. Do you think it changes? I've often wondered and asked sometimes when someone has a hit song, it's kind of like, well, how do I write the next hit song? Has it influenced at all how you write since compared to how you wrote before?
I don't think so. I think it's influenced the business side of things than anything. I mean, when I sit down to write, it's still the same thing. Like I want to write a song that I believe in, that I can stand behind, that I'm excited about, whether it's a song that I feel I can sing myself or a song that I hear another artist doing.
Right.
I still have to believe in it. So I still write that way. But on the business side of things, definitely changed things. It's upped the game and made me think about, like, how can we better strategize to go where we want to go. Where do we want to go?
Sure.
What do we want
yeah.
to do with this
yeah.
now? And,
yeah.
and where can we go? And,
right.
and how do we make this happen?
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. And you mentioned...
Which in part takes away, like, all the time that's been on that takes away from the creating. So
right.
that's
yeah.
been a hard thing to balance.
Hmm. It,
especially with, you know, throwing into the mix that I'm a mom of a little kid who needs me.
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So just trying to keep all the plates spinning and make sure I get that,
sure.
that time in practicing and on the different instruments that I play, but also that time creating. I get twitchy when I go too long without writing. Because it's just something I love to do, and it's my therapy.
yeah, I was thinking that before you said it, that a lot of people will say that songwriting is a therapy process. So that's awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
It's how I interpret the world, how I deal with the world, how I escape from the world.
That's cool. A few minutes ago you mentioned your band, and we certainly want to give them a quick shout out. Give me your lineup and let's include those guys in our conversation.
Sure. I've got Ned Lubarecki on the banjo. He's a legend within our community. He's
sure. been Bluegrass, XM Bluegrass.
Bluegrass band.
Yeah, Bluegrass Junction.
For over 30 years playing in different bands, including Chris Jones and the Night Drivers, Paul Adkins and the Borderline Band that Rarely Heard. And then he's also a wonderful DJ. He's on Sirius XM's Bluegrass Junction channel and wrote a bluegrass banjo curriculum for Alfred Publishing. Has a new album out called Take Five.
Uh-huh.
And
cool
he's a 2017 nominee for IBMA Banjo Player of the Year. So we've been saying, because of Ned and, you know, the self-deprecating humor, we've been saying he's the second best banjo player of 2017.
That's funny.
Yeah, and then we've got Professor Dan Boner on the mandolin. He played mandolin on the new album, but now he's been playing guitar for the last year or so.
Okay.
And he plays everything really well. He, like, pushes me to be a better fiddle player. Like, he inspires me so much with his fiddle playing. Great singer, great educator. I believe it was 2015 he was a nominee for IBMA Mentor of the Year.
Okay.
And he's the director of the East Tennessee State University Bluegrass Old Time and Country Music Program.
Hmm. All right. Yeah, I thought I recognized his name for that. So, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So his freshman year at ETSU was my senior year. And I graduated and left, and he just stayed.
Just stayed. That's cool.
He just stayed and stayed and stayed, and they made him the head of the program. But the program is really thriving.
Yeah.
And I think they have 70 bands right now.
Wow.
Or did this last semester.
Wow.
Really, really exciting times out there.
That is so cool.
For roots music.
Sure. Yeah. What a contribution to the industry by itself. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. Then we've got Nate Lee on the mandolin and fiddle and singing the high tenor line with me. He's from Ovilla, Texas, now makes his home in Nashville, Tennessee. And he teaches a lot. He's got a big private lesson studio and it does a lot of online lessons. All of us actually teach at workshops and camps throughout the year. So you can maybe talk about some of those that I'll be involved in. But
uh-huh.
Nate has a new album called Plays Well With Others. And he's a 2015 IBMA Momentum Award winner.
Cool. And then you've got Dwayne Anderson, right?
Dwayne Anderson. So we've been calling him Calamity Dwayne because we have this song on the new record called Calamity Jane. And the big line in the song is, Jane ain't even your name, Jane.
Oh, no.
And Dwayne ain't even his name. That's actually his middle name. His first name is Bobby.
Oh.
So we've been saying, Dwayne ain't even your name, Dwayne. And,
that's funny.
Dwayne is a programmer and IT guy for King University in Bristol, Tennessee, or Bristol, Virginia. And he and I played together with Darren and Brooke Aldridge for those couple seasons.
Hmm.
He's a great picker. He's an ETSU graduate. And I'm just honored that he would join our band here at the top of this year.
Yeah, that's so neat. And then the new record is Crepe Paper Heart. And
Crepe Paper Heart.
Yeah, Crepe Paper Heart. And that's what number for you? You mentioned you had a few when you were with the other folks.
Yeah, it's my fourth solo album,
okay.
And it's my second release for Dark Shadow Recording.
And that is out or is ready to come out? When is it released?
It came out February 14th.
Okay, so it's currently
out. With a name like that, it needed to be released on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, okay, for sure. So tell me a little bit about that before we wrap things up.
All right. It's all original songs except for the bonus track, Phoenix Arise. And that was a special project that happened in between my albums. We recorded that song as a fundraiser for the town of Medelia, Minnesota. Big fire in their downtown district that took out an entire city block of businesses. And that's in my home county of Watonwan County, Minnesota. And it's also where my dad works.
Mm-hmm.
So we recorded that track and then put it up as a digital download for a donation of any amount to help in the rebuild effort. And I'm happy to say that they've all rebuilt and they're back open for business. So
that's neat. Cool.
Folks out there traveling through southern Minnesota, you got to stop at La Plaza Fiesta and have lunch and supper and do some shopping there in Medelia,
cool.
Minnesota. But we included that as the bonus track on the album.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest are songs that I've written or co-written. Calamity Jane that I mentioned a minute ago is on this album. I got to sing that with Rhonda Vincent, the queen of bluegrass.
Wow,
music.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool.
Love her. She's amazing and such a great businesswoman. She's a fabulous entertainer. And she's also been a mentor to me. She's been so kind.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone through her several times with industry questions, and she's been really kind and thoughtful in her answers.
Yeah. I love
really
that about the bluegrass world.
Yeah. Everybody's pretty willing to help other people out, especially folks that are coming up
sure.
in the music. So, and I actually wrote that song, Calamity Jane, with Tim Stafford of Blue Highway,
mm-hmm.
one of my very favorite bands. And then we've got Frank Sullivan as a special guest with us on Bitter Springs, The Big Trees, which is probably my favorite song in the collection right now.
Huh,
just because
cool.
it's kind of where I'm at on things, just kind of in a time of waiting.
Yeah.
And which is not a bad thing.
No, no, not at all.
And then we've got the Grammy-winning Fairfield 4 mm-hmm. with me on written in the back of the book. I mentioned two gospel songs. Not all gospel. It's a mix of secular and sacred songs, and kick it off with another Love Gone Wrong. It's a very promising title. and most of the heavy lifting on this record has been done by my band, and I would put them up against any studio musician out there. They are just fantastic musicians.
That's neat.
There's a couple guys on there that are no longer in the band. Brandon Bostic on guitar, and Daniel Harden on the bass.
Okay.
I'm especially excited that on the instrumental, Care Paravel, that Daniel Harden did the bass track on that. And, I wrote that song a long time ago when he and I were touring together, and he just always loved it. And I'm really excited that he was the one that got to put the bass track down on
that's
that.
Neat.
He really, really smashes the bass on that. And then Claire Lynch is also a special guest, Rob Ikes. Sam Bush, I got to do a duet with Sam Bush. Just him and I, me playing Klahammer banjo, him playing Hoff and the mandolin, and singing together on a song that I wrote with my friend Tony Rackley from down in South Carolina. And let's see, that song's called The Rebel in the Rose. And I'm missing some guests. Stephen and Yana Mo Jin are on there with me. And I'm missing somebody, but I can't think who it is right now. But just a whole bunch of guests that are just heroes of mine.
Yeah, that's
such
neat.
An honor to get to work with them.
Well, we certainly want folks to hear it, and we want them, if they haven't, certainly to track it down and get a copy of it. What's the best place, and how can they track you down if they want to maybe hire you as a teacher or just say hey or get some advice? What's the best way to communicate with you and get your music?
Best way is to go to BeckyBuller.com, and Buller is spelled just like it sounds, B as in boy, U-L-L-E-R, BeckyBuller.com, and you can find out where we're going to be, read more about us, check out the lesson schedule, the touring schedule. Can I mention a couple of the things we have coming up?
Yeah, please do.
We're going to be at the Graves Mountain Festival of Music in Syria, Virginia on June 2nd, and then we drop down to Dollywood for their Barbecue and Bluegrass Festival on Monday, June 4th. Then you can find us at the Jesus Tent at Bonnaroo.
Cool.
I believe that's June 10th. It's the Sunday of that weekend.
Okay.
We're going to play for the church service, very informal church service at the Jesus Tent. Some really, really cool thing that First Baptist Church here in Manchester heads up. But people come from all over the U.S. to volunteer there and, to hang out. It's a really, really cool thing. Hmm. And then I head to Kaufman Camp along with most of my band. Everybody except Dwayne is teaching at Kaufman Camp this year, and that's in Marysville, Tennessee. I think it starts on Father's Day. What is that this year? June. It's in the 20s of June. Anyway, it's all on my website. Please check it out. And then I'll also be headed to Level in Texas for Camp Bluegrass and going right to Rocky Grass Academy in Lyons, Colorado after that.
Wow,
and,
cool.
I'll be doing a show with all the first ladies to win in their respective instrumental categories at IBMA. So that's Allison Brown on the banjo, Sierra Ho on mandolin, Molly Tuttle on guitar, Missy Raines on bass, and myself. We're going to be doing a set at Rocky Grass, and that's already sold out. So if you don't have your tickets, you're out of luck.
Oh no, that sounds neat.
And then we go to Milan, Michigan, and then the Station Inn there that first weekend of August. And I'll do one more, and then I'll let you be. But we're going to head back to Minnesota. I'm so excited to be playing for my home state crowd at the Minnesota Bluegrass Old Time Music Association's August Festival at El Rancho Manana in Richmond, Minnesota. Going to be a lot of fun. They always put on a really good show.
Cool. Well, in case they didn't write it down, they can find all of that at BeckyBuller.com.
That's right. You can connect to us on all our social media pages via our website, too.
Cool. Thanks, Becky. Appreciate it. This has been great talking to you.
Oh, Greg, thank you so much for having me on the program. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Long Shots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Long Shots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.